will save you now. 140.
Reading from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14. From verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray again. Father, we just come with ears and hearts open, ready to receive a word from yourself. And we pray that you would speak in power now by your grace and for your glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Find this episode in the life of Peter, who's a great man of God, really, but he has his times of struggle. And here in this passage, Jesus is seeking to teach something to Peter. And one of the things that we find with Peter, that he has a heart to follow God. And in this passage, as in many others, we see that Peter has a hunger for God. He has a desire for God. And he sees that God is the one who's going to answer his and meet his need. And here, as they are in a ship, and they are in the midst of a storm upon the lake, they are, the disciples are no doubt in a place where they are afraid, they are worried, they don't know what is going to happen. And we may be in that position today. The storms of life have come around us, and we're wondering just what is going to happen next in our lives. And as they are out in this ship on the water, they don't know what is going to happen, because a storm is unpredictable, the weather is unpredictable. And the same happens in our lives. And just as we think everything is going to go right and everything, we've got everything sorted out, in the middle of that, a storm comes and suddenly we're afraid because it's out of our control. And we say, I do not know what's going to happen next. Circumstances have overtaken me and I'm simply afraid. And this is how the disciples were. And into the midst of this, suddenly they see someone walking out on the water. Now, this is obviously a very strange thing for them. And they wonder what exactly is going on. And first of all, they think that this is a spirit, a ghost, as it were, coming out on the water. And they're afraid, thinking it's a ghost. And then they realize it's Jesus. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And sometimes when we're in the midst of the storm of life and we are concerned about what's going on, we may be almost afraid at the approach of Jesus. We are afraid of God. We are not understanding maybe what is going on. And we are looking out there and we see something of Jesus. And perhaps our first attitude towards Jesus is that we're afraid. And we don't understand. We don't know what he's doing in our lives. And we're, as it were, questioning God and saying, what have you done? What are you doing in my life? What's going on? And instead of seeing God just as the one who loves us and the one who cares about us, in the midst of the storm, we can be so afraid of God and start to have a wrong attitude towards God and bitter feelings towards God, and not even recognizing that in the midst of the storm, there is God with us. And they don't recognize that as Jesus is walking towards them and approaching them, that that is Jesus. They don't recognize that Jesus is there, coming to be with them in the midst of the storm. And then perhaps we start to recognize who Jesus is. We start to recognize the goodness of Jesus, the character of Jesus, that he is the answer to our problems, that he is the one who loves us, that he is the one who's died to save us, that he wants to give us good things. And that was perhaps Peter as he was there in the boat. And in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the difficulties, he suddenly sees Jesus. He recognizes that it is Jesus. And in the midst of that situation, he says, Jesus, I want to get to you. I need to get to you because I recognize that you're going to help me. I recognize that you're going to change my life. And so, how does he respond to this feeling within him that Jesus is going to alter his life, that Jesus is going to change his life, that's maybe going to bring help in the midst of the storm? Well, he says to Jesus, bid me come to you. Bid me come to you. And Jesus says, come. But you notice in the midst of the storm, Peter is saying that he himself needs to do something. He's the one, Peter is saying, I need to do something. I need to get to you. And in a sense, Jesus says, okay, try it. Try coming to me. Come. And so Peter gets out of the ship and he walks out on the water to Jesus. But he doesn't go very far before he looks down and he sees the waves and he's aware of the storm. And he sinks. He starts sinking down into the water and he cries, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. But Peter's vital mistake in the midst of this is that he thinks that he has to get to Jesus. He thinks it's his role to get to Jesus when he's in the midst of the storm, when he's in the midst of the trouble. But Jesus is here coming to him. He's coming out to them. And what happens then is that Jesus goes with him and they walk back and they go into the ship. Now, when Jesus comes with Peter and they get into the ship, as soon as they get into the ship, it says that the storm ceases. The storm ceases. And so suddenly it's been in Peter's mind that he needs to get to Jesus, that he needs to be the one doing something in the midst of his storm. But what Jesus here is saying to Peter is, I need to come into your life. And when I come into your life, when I come into your ship here, that's when the change takes place. That's when the storm was ceased. And it says in John's account, in John chapter 6, that as Jesus got into the ship, immediately they were at the other shore. There was a supernatural movement of the boat from the middle of the lake or wherever it was in the lake to the shore. So as Jesus comes in, there is this complete transformation in the situation. But as people tonight, with our various difficulties, we may be believers, we may not yet be born again. But very often we are saying, Lord, somehow I need to get to you. Maybe you think God seems far away to me and somehow I need to get to him. I need to somehow get to Jesus and, you know, can I walk to him? And as soon as we start, we try to walk to God, walk to Jesus, we quickly find that we fail. And just as Peter started to sink down in the water and he found that in trying to walk to Jesus, he couldn't get there. So that's how we find it. We try to get to Jesus, but when we try to get there, we fail. But you see, that is why God had such a better plan. He had a better idea. And rather than us having to get to Jesus, Jesus came to us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While it says in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And you see, we cannot get to Jesus. And though we may sense in our hearts that Jesus is the answer to our problems, however hard we try, we can't get there. And we step out upon the water and we fail. But God says, what you need to do is not to try and get to Jesus, but ask Jesus to come into your life, to ask Jesus to step into your situation. Now, Jesus reveals himself as the one who is everything that we need. It says in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that Jesus is made to us everything that we need. It says, Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So if you have Jesus in your life, then you have salvation. You have redemption. It's not about you trying to be good or trying to get right with God. But if you ask Jesus into your life and he comes into your life, he will be everything you need. He will, with a supernatural power, take over your life and will bring that transformation into your life which you need. You see, however hard we work, whatever we try to do to get right with God, it will always fail. But if we ask God, who is all powerful, to step into our life, then he will make the change that we need. And whether tonight we're a believer, whether we're not yet saved, this message is the same for all of us, that if we will ask Jesus to step into our lives, just as he stepped into the ship, that will be the transformation. That will bring the change that is necessary. And maybe we tonight have tried so hard to bring change in our lives, and we see what we should be and see what is possible. Peter saw Jesus walking in the water. He said, this is possible. And maybe we look at other Christians and say, this is possible. And yet every time we try to walk to Jesus, we fail and it doesn't work. But ask Jesus into your life, and he will bring the change that is necessary. He will bring that transforming power. Now, John, in his gospel, says something quite remarkable. He says, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It says, as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now, if tonight, just as they received Jesus into the ship, if tonight you are willing to receive Jesus into your heart, into your life, he will be the transformation that you need. It's not something that you work up yourself. It's not something that you do yourself, but you receive Jesus into your life, and he brings this transformation. And so this was always the way in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and he gave this message again and again in John chapter 4. Jesus speaking to a woman at a well, he says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That is something that when you become a Christian, God deposits in your life. It's the reality of Jesus in you. And suddenly you have this well of water springing up from within. And again, in living the Christian life, it's not something that you do in seeking to spread the gospel. It's not something that you do yourself. But this is simply God in your life. And when God is in your life, he does supernatural things that you can never do yourself. He works with a power that you could never have yourself. And later on in John's gospel in chapter 7, Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the message is here the same, that the one who believes on the Lord Jesus, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. This is something of the reality of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, being in a person, and that goes out and helps to change the life of other people. Now, but I want to ask us this evening, do we recognize our need for Jesus? You see, Peter recognized his need, his own personal need for Jesus, and it was as a result of that that he tried to get to Jesus and failed, but ultimately it ended in Jesus coming into the ship. But I want to ask you tonight, do you recognize your own personal need for Jesus? Do you see that he is the one who's going to bring transformation into your life? That he is the one who's going to bring change? And however much, however hard you have tried to bring change to your own life, and you have failed and you have sought so hard, maybe you've sought after God and you've prayed and you've maybe read the Bible and it never actually brings the change that is necessary, I wonder, are you willing to just allow Jesus to come into your life and be that transformation? You see, you don't ask Jesus to come into your life until you see the need. But if you see your need and say, Lord Jesus, I need you within my life. I see that I'm a sinner. I see that I have failed God. I have not lived in the way I should. But I believe, Lord Jesus, that as you lived on earth, you always did the right thing. You never sinned. You always did what was right. And more than that, that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. And as you see that and believe that Jesus is your righteousness and ask him into your life, he will change your life. He will change your life. Let me ask you tonight, do you want that change in your life? Are you willing just to ask Jesus into your life? Not about doing things yourself, but simply asking Jesus to come in and do what you cannot do yourself. You see, the way of salvation is so simple. People often make it difficult. They struggle, they labor, and yet the way of salvation is so simple. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in a sense, Peter called upon the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, save me. And I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to do that? Say, Lord, save me. I can't do this myself, but come into my life and take over. And then you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the way of salvation is so simple. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died to save us, that you bore our sins in your own body upon the tree. And Lord, we recognize that it is so hard for us to come to you. And as we try to come to you, that we fail, and we're not able to do it. And just as we fail in every area of our lives, so in simply coming to you, we fail. Lord, we pray that you would just give us grace to allow you to come into our lives and to take over. Lord, that we would let you be our all in all. Father, as perhaps we have pushed you out of our lives and sought to do things in our own strength and sought to do things our own way. Oh, Lord God, we pray that now we would just let you into our lives and allow you to be who you are with your saving power and your grace and your perfection and your awesome love and everything that you are. Lord, step into our lives, we pray, even tonight, and bring the change that is necessary. We thank you, Lord, that you are always victorious, and that when you come into our lives, you have that victory that brings a complete change. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me, but in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Arches rang when the